Hello and welcome back to Amplify with Purpose. I'm your host, Odette De Beer, and today we are diving into a full conversation that blends business, faith, and life in a way that feels raw, real, and relevant. Last time we introduced something exciting and some new changes and shifting from business-only focus to something deeper, the holistic integration of who we are in business, faith, and relationship. And you all responded really well. So thank you for your feedback and thank you for being part of our journey. We are really, really excited. And today we're going to dive deeper and we're going to talk about, because my co-hosts don't know what we're talking about today. We are talking about collaboration over competition. So co-opetition. Aren't you proud of me? I said it and I didn't even have coffee. We're talking about competition. If we've got time, I would also love to talk about navigating resistance when things feel tough and judging by my pre-show conversation with Dr. J and Postacy. It might be the perfect timing. And if you weren't sure who's joining me today, I've got Postacy and Dr. J. Let's go. Dr. J, the last time you introduced the word co-opetition, where competitors actually collaborate and create something bigger together instead of constantly battling for market share. And that really struck a chord for me because I really believe that's something that we're doing. And I really believe that's something that all businesses should be doing, but it's not. It's easier said than done. Would you mind expanding on that for us today and helping us figure out what that means?
Let me use a practical example. And I'll use it in the marketing side or digital marketing side that I've got one of my businesses in. If you hear the word digital marketing, some people think SEO or Google Ads. Other people will be thinking social media. Other people think website. Others think Web3. I've heard the other day somebody said crypto. And I was like, that's an interesting thing going into digital marketing because I believe that's Web3. But that's exactly the thing. Can you hear, just by saying one word, how many different aspects there is to it? Now, if you start going into digital marketing, you will see that you basically need an expert for digital, for social media. Inside social media, you need to refine the skill of Meta Ads as an example, or the social media side of it. Within that, you need to refine content writing. You need to refine graphic design. Then you've only done one little part. Then you haven't even done the website, connected the website with Meta. And there's all these aspects that just forms part of one thing. So what started to happen was we realized that we needed to be laser focused and laser sharp on one or two things. So that's what people started to believe. So what you did is you would work with a team and say, you focus on Meta Ads, you focus on websites, you focus on that thing. And within that, there's also a whole lot of other factors. And with that, we became really good at effective problem solving and return on investment. Because what you do is, once you become an expert in that one thing, you refine until you're like 100% like sharp. You've got models, you've got solutions, you've got all those type of things. I read over the weekend that you can really start selling once you've got a solution. And for some reason, it struck a chord more than others. But that's the whole reason we start business, right? But then you lose that as you go along, because what happens, there's too many aspects. Now, the same happened with competition, is there's so many aspects developing. And Pastor C, you say often, like, everything starts simple, but then it becomes complicated. Like, if you start a new hobby, it doesn't matter what you start. It's simple in the beginning. You buy a new rifle. It seems rather easy. I mean, really, how much can go into a rifle? And then a couple of months later, it is so technical. So what co-opetition helped us to do is that we get professionals in each one of these sections or sectors, and we bring it together so all of us have work, but we have a proper solution and a really great model that brings the return on investment.
I love that. That's a really cool way of explaining it. And I think there are some things that Australia does poorly, and there's things that they do really well, and I have a million thoughts on that. But one of the things they do really well is encouraging people to stick to your lane, pick a lane and stick to it, which often, not always, but often does mean that you will have an expert in one thing. And if you then can get over yourself and connect with people, then you can create a really cool ecosystem. So my theory around life and business in general is creating ecosystems, which means I don't have to know everything, but I do need to know people who know things, which is fantastic. Prostacy, I know in leadership and in ministry, collaboration is obviously super important. There's also a bit of tension there where people sometimes feel like they need to protect their space. I see that a lot in church, rather than working together. This is my people, it's my team. What's your take on that? And how do you see collaboration working together in leadership and business?
Yeah, I think the challenge comes when we build our kingdom instead of building the kingdom, you know, speaking about church.
Mm.
You know, the Bible clearly says that, you know, we are, you know, we're all members of the body. So it's the body of Christ. And each person, you know, just plays a part in that body. But when we think that my part is the whole instead of just the part within the body, I think that's where the challenge, you know, comes in. When it comes to co-opetition, you know, there's the late Jack Welch. He used to have a saying, business is a game and the team with the best players will win. Now, if we look at business in that sense, is that I can broaden my team and the players I have by working with other people. Exactly like what Dr. Tiernan says, you know, it's like harnessing the strengths and the expertise of others, you know, within my team. So it definitely comes down to a mindset, you know, that we're not in competition, you know, but we can harness the gifts, the abilities, the strengths of other people. And it's simply to play at a bigger landscape. And I do believe that, you know, COVID-19 has really opened up, you know, the world and the eyes of the people that, you know, business is global. And so it's no longer just me playing in this little field, in this little industry, but, you know, the world has really opened up to me. And I think there's enough space for everybody to play. There's enough, you know, like the old saying, there's enough piece of the pie. And if we can realize that and look at it, okay, how can we work together instead of working against one another? I definitely think co-opetition is the way of the future. Technology and, you know, the rate of learning is happening so fast. It's really, well, maybe it's just me. It's hard to, you know, to stay on track with everything. But if you have people that play within that specific areas, you mentioned, you know, Australia does it well to stay in your lane. I really like what Warren Buffett says. He's got this concept. It's called the circle of competence. And he says, if you simply stay in your circle of competence, the thing that you know well, I mean, we all know Warren Buffett. He's made some money. And I'm not saying money is, you know, be all and end all, but he's really been successful in that area, in the area of investing. And it's a simple principle. Just stay in your area of competence. So, you know, what's it saying? Hire your weaknesses, stay in your strengths, and then hire for your weaknesses. So I really believe that if we can change our mindset on this, you know, we're playing together, then it's gonna already be a good starting point for
Absolutely.
Everybody.
And I think the minute we get over the need to know everything, business becomes easy. Because prostacy, like you say, if you stay in your area of competence, the thing that you're competent in is the thing that you are comfortable with. And I'm not suggesting that you stay in your comfort zone. Obviously, growth happens outside your comfort zone. All of those things are true. But there are things that we are naturally gifted to do. We are naturally anointed for some things and less so for others. And I think when we build in the space of competence, and I want to say comfort because your competence is where you're like, oh, this is my zone of genius, like yours is leadership, then things flow easier. And even when there is learning that needs to take place, that learning happens so easily. Like, you don't have to stretch your mind and really think hard to think about new leadership concepts or seeing teams work together or creating ecosystems within a leadership team. All of those things flow naturally from you because we all know that the answer is within you, but the answer that's within you is based on your competence. It's based on your anointing. It's based on your skill.
Yeah.
And it's based on that thing that God's created you to do. So if you play within that thing, it will continue to flow by itself. That's when business becomes easy.
Yeah.
Is it always easy? No, because there are some aspects of that that you need to learn, and there's things that needs to stretch you, and it's a little bit uncomfortable. But largely, when you start playing in that space, it's easy. The hard piece comes in when we have to acknowledge that I don't know everything. And this is where you then have to decide, am I going to try and know everything because there's an ego of me that needs the ego part of me needs to satisfy this, like, oh, I have all the answers. Or do you find really cool people around the room that knows other things, that's good at other things? And you just go, hey, I don't know this thing. And in this particular case, I have to humble myself and go, I don't have the answer. And to be honest with you, maybe I don't want to have the answer because it's just so much harder. It's not what I was made to do. I was made to do something else. You were made to do this thing. And if you think about it in terms of puzzle pieces, if all the puzzle pieces just do what they're supposed to do, your puzzle is complete and there's a whole picture and it's beautiful. And the world praises this puzzle because it works well. But the problem comes in when the one puzzle piece wants to do what the other puzzle piece is doing because they feel like that's more glamorous or whatever. And then suddenly there's a disjointed picture. Dr. J, I see you nodding away there.
I think I want to go back to, where did this start from? Like, how did it even, like, where did competition come from? And it's like, we have to understand, and you said it, Pastor C, is how quickly technology advanced. So it became impossible for people to keep up. Now, that is going to happen more and more and more. As AI develops, we're going to feel we know less because AI is not going to know more, right? So it's the same like in a spiritual sense where you have to know who you are and what your identity is in Christ. You're going to have to know who you are and what your identity is in work. Because if you don't know that, then people are not going to know why they're coming to you in the first place. You need to know that these are the type of problems that I can solve. And I need this and this and this and this kind of people around me so that I can solve that problem. I mean, there is no more one solution for one particular problem. I think I dubbed 2025 the year that we're coloring outside the lines. And the reason I say that is because there's no one solution anymore. There's no one size fits all anymore because technology moved so fast. So I like to go back, like, where did this start? Why is it happening? Because if you know why it's happening, you can kind of find a formula around that. And taking into consideration what you said, Odette, is it's so important to know exactly where you are good at. Because there, you're going to find those solutions and it's going to come to you much easier than trying to now learn a new skill. And also, like you said, it's not like we shouldn't stretch ourselves. It's not that we shouldn't go out of our comfort zone. We should do all those things. But you should also know exactly where you are good at. It reminds me of tennis. It's like, why do they ask you, what is your best shot? Is it a forehand, backhand? Is it smash? Is it serve? What is it? You need to know. Because when push comes to shove in the heat of that game, you need to know what shot you're going to pull off. It's the same with business. When push comes to shove in business, what shot are you going to play?
Absolutely. Definitely. So what we're saying, for those of you who have not taken notes or are unclear or have just joined us, you need to know what you're good at. And then find people that you trust, that you like. Because I don't think you can, yes, you can work with people that you don't like. But kind of my rule is, would I have coffee with them? Like, can we sit down and have a chat like this about stuff? And the answer is no. Then maybe we shouldn't do a business thing together. Because there will be times in business where it's hard or it's challenging or there's friction. And if you don't like each other, that friction can go south so quickly. And when there's a customer waiting at the end of your relationship and you need to deliver something, the last thing you want to do is destroy your reputation because there's friction and you couldn't figure it out. Pastor C, I see your brain working.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about, you know, we probably have to, you know, reframe, you know, business success. I was just thinking as you speak about, you know, getting these skills and people to work with. Maybe you've heard this many times, you know, you got to dominate your industry. You got to take charge. And As much as I do believe that you got to dominate in what you're doing, you know, you got to be the best. You know, if you're playing to lose, then don't play. But maybe that's not the goal of business. It's not the goal of business is not to take your competition and put them out of business. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I just think moving forward, you know, it's about us as a society working together. You know, I watched a little bit of the interview with President Trump and President, Zelensky. And, you know, I'm thinking like, people can't work. Why can't we work together? You know, is it egos, you know? Is that the case? You know, why do we have all these wars? Like, I mean, we can get into the nitty gritty of it, but just like, let's just zoom out. At the end of the day, like, aren't we here to live in harmony, live together? And so for me, that's definitely a bit of a reframe. That business is not about, for me, about putting somebody else out of business. And you have all this competition. No, I've got my gifting, my ability, my uniqueness to the world. And I want to give it to the world. You know, if you look at social media, like every second person is now a media company and everybody comments on everything that is happening. You know, we hear the news from influencers or social media people more than from the actual news. But there's space for everybody. There's enough, you know, room upon the earth for everybody's light to shine. And I think if we just zoom out and look at that and reframe and say, listen, there is enough for everybody. Like, there's enough finances upon the earth for everybody to have a more than good and more than a decent life. You know, whenever we fly, I'm always amazed at the vast landscape that just lies barren upon the earth. You know, wherever you go, I mean, like, we go from Joburg to Cape Town, and there's just mountains upon mountains, open space upon open space upon open space. Yet when you drive to Sandton, everything is like on top of each other, and it seems like, you know, there's not enough space. But there's so much space, you know, land space for everybody. And I really think, and that would be my difference in the next, you know, let's say the next decade, really to work with people more than working against people. You know, we say the same thing in the kingdom, in church. You know, there's not enough churches, you know, for everybody to worship the Lord. Yet, what are the things that people most fight about, like within church? Like, my members are leaving, going to your church. I was thinking the other day, I don't think there's any church that has ever been in existence that can say that they don't have a member that comes from another church. Every single church, like, probably has had people that left the church, came to that church. There's no church that only had, you know, pure new salvations. And so at the end of the day, it just shows me that there's place and room for all of us. And so, you know, that would probably be, for me, a reframe, you know, that, and because competition, it's not just for a time and a period. It really is a mindset. It's to say that this is the way I'm going to approach business. I'm going to approach business by working with people and not working against people. Because if I'm only going to co-opt with you for the next 3 months, 6 months, until I get everything that I need out of it, that's not competition. Then you just use me for that time and that period. So it's really a mindset. It's really a mind shift. And I almost want to draw it back to a marriage. We don't fight against each other in marriage. We don't play against each other. We work together. There's a common goal. For how long? Forever, you know? Well, that's at least the way I see marriage. And it's the same with him in life and business. I really believe that.
It's definitely about building relationships rather than empires. Because I think also, not necessarily everyone, but with time, you realize that you can have all the money in the world and still not be happy. So do you want to be rich or do you want to be happy? Yes, you can be both. But the way that you get there is going to determine whether or not you are both. It's funny. I was watching a documentary yesterday about wealth, and just, it's a fairly old documentary, and I would shudder to think what they would say now. But this woman did a study on just the gross wealth. Like, what is it? How much is it? And what does it do to people that have it? And there was this guy that he's a German fund manager. He made crazy amounts of money, and he was indicted during the 2008 crash, the global market crash. And he fled the country, went to Germany, and subsequently seems like lost some money, but not all of it, went to jail, came out. In the process of making oodles of wealth, I mean, oodles being probably more than Elon Musk has now, he's made and spent. It's just, he's like, oh, you know. And the interesting thing for me was he sat there at the end of the documentary crying. And he said, anyone who thinks that money will make you happy has never had any. He says, because no amount of money is going to buy the love of my son. No amount of money is going to get my wife back in my life. No amount of money is going to bring me a companion to sit here with me and to talk to. And I was like, wow. We're running after something at the expense, and it is often at the expense of the things that matter most. And I feel like this, so something that's been really settling on me for the last month is seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first the treasures of the kingdom and his righteousness. And the Passion Translation says, and all these less important things will be added unto you. And I'm like, so my question is, what then? What then are the treasures of the kingdom? And how have we as human beings become so distracted by all of these other things that we miss the mark? Because that's what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. So we are all sinning. That's, no one's perfect. We miss the mark. What are we missing? We're missing relationship with God and relationship with people. And that's what the kingdom is. The kingdom is God created human beings because he wanted a family, because he wanted to love on us. Yet we run after money. And you'll see people run and destroy everything they have for money. And when they've lost it all, will tell you, actually, I would do anything to have a relationship with my children or my husband or my wife. And when it comes to business, people often get caught up. And Dr. J, you said it before. We start off with business is simple. We solve a problem. And somewhere along the line, we forget why we solved the problem and it becomes about the money. And that's often where big corporates fall into that trap. We get distracted by my shareholders need more money, more money, more money. And in the process, we create a toxic culture where we destroy people. We destroy our staff. We destroy relationships within the environment. And you are both very much, I see those cogs happening. So hit me, tell me what's happening.
You speak about, thank you. You speak about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. And so, you know, I suppose a good question would be, what is the kingdom? And, you know, the kingdom of many things. But I'm thinking about Romans 14. It says the kingdom of God is not what you eat or what you drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, please don't shoot me. Let's just look at what that scripture says. And I'm not taking it out of context, but I just want to just quickly speak about just that, those three words. Is that if the Bible says the kingdom of God is not what you eat or what you drink, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, isn't that what we should then seek first? Is to seek righteousness, to seek peace, and to seek joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not about, you know, building a bigger building, and it's not about how many people, you know, we impact. And I'm not saying it's not that. It's absolutely all of those things. You need to have the fruit, you know, of Jesus says, if you follow me, if you are my disciples, you know, you will bear much fruit. So absolutely, you know, but fruit is not just the things, the tangible things that we sometimes tend to pursue above, you know, these three things, which I want to allude back to, you know, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that where we sometimes miss it in business as well, is that it's no longer about playing the game. And I like what Alex Hormozi says, like for him, you know, business is a game, and he just loved playing the game of business. It's not about how much money he makes, it's about playing the game. I just want to be in business. We don't hear that very often when you listen to to business people because it becomes all about the money. It started out because I love this product. I love to render a service to people. And then it becomes about the money. It becomes about, you know, gaining more power, gaining more, you know, influence over people because we want to dominate. Because if I dominate, you know, I'm successful. And I don't think that, you know, that should be the focus or that should be the goal. And so like you're alluding to, like, seek first the kingdom of God. Every single person has to ask himself the question, if you're a person of faith and you want to attest to that and say, but I want to seek first the kingdom of God. You have to ask yourself, what is the kingdom of God? And it would be different for, when I say different, you know, we'll see different aspects. You know, because yes, the kingdom is, he's the king and his domain. And he dominates and he has dominion over his domain. But I really believe that it needs to be more about the way that we live our life than the things that we attain. You know, the Bible also says, do not gather and do not, you know, assemble upon the earth wealth for yourself, where moth and rot can destroy it, you know, but rather have treasures in heaven. And so once again, then it's not a material thing. And it might just be that we need to reframe. I like to use this terminology. I mean, myself and Dr. Janine, we like to hunt. We like to go to the shooting range and shoot targets and, you know, reload and, you know, get into the technical things of shooting. And you have a scope, a telescope on your rifle, and you use the telescope to zoom into your target. But you also use it to zoom out, to have a look at the surroundings and where you're at. And I believe it's important that we at times zoom out. You know, we what are you focusing on? And what are your goals? And what is your vision? And where do you want to go? But sometimes just zoom out and have a look and see, but let's look at the bigger picture. And I think that's what the point you're trying to make here, Odette, with the documentary you watch. That at the end of the day, when all is said and done, that gentleman realized that, was it all for nothing? Like Dr. Sam Chan says that once you've reached the top, I hope that your ladder is not leaning against the wrong wall. And so, I know Dr. Janine is very big and maybe she'll address this as well on evaluated experiences. But yeah, I think we need to evaluate our life a lot more and go slower to go faster and not just keep running in the rat race.
I agree with you, Pastor C. And I think if I go back to something you just said, is we do have instructions. I was told last week that I follow instruction very well. And I must say that was a nice compliment. But then I always think about that's what the Word of God teaches us, is to follow His instructions. You know, He says to us to multiply. It says to bear fruit. It says to do business until I come. And if we focus on those kind of things, the instructions of the word that it's given us towards business, and that's where our focus is, all other things will fall right back into place. Because I think every generation has had its challenges. Every generation has been different. And for me, like I said, this year is the year of coloring outside the lines. It gives us freedom to do what we need to do, but we still have structure because we can still do business until Jesus comes. We can still multiply. We can bear fruit. We can have dominion. We can have all these things. There's structure, but there's also freedom to create so much more. And what I like about where we are heading is we're heading in the direction of community. And I said it before that community is the currency of the future. And by making and embracing co-opetition, that's exactly what we are doing. We're building communities and strong communities of people that are strong in each one of the places that they have taken dominion over. And now we can create solutions for problems or challenges much faster in an easier way. And like you said, there is room for everybody to grow. There is room for everybody to profit. And together we can really build something of value. I think going back to an entrepreneur's heart, I want to add value. We want to build value. We want to make a difference. So if you're going to try and do it the entire time by yourself, you're not going to get to the value aspect. You're going to just work yourself to death. Because you know, the things are evolving too fast. Mm-hmm. That is the fact. I don't know if you're familiar with the term singularity. So singularity is when AI becomes so advanced that it literally takes over or surpasses our human intelligence. And I mean, when AI started, it was like, oh, that's so far away. We've already surpassed that. We've already surpassed that. So I almost want to say, like, yo, we as humans, we need to come together. We need to work together, still be really great at what you're great at, but now find other people that's just as great and build something even better.
Absolutely. So we do have some time, and I'd like to just shift our conversation ever so slightly, because coming with co-opetition, there is this thing that rises to the top, and it's called resistance. So in our previous episode, we spoke about the art of the war of art and resistance. And my big burning question, or question I'd love to have a conversation about, is resistance a stop sign or a test of conviction? So I often see businesses and leadership struggle with resistance. They set a goal, they make a plan, everything then suddenly seems to go wrong. We've all seen that. We've all experienced that. And the art of the war of art describes it so well. He says, it's not bad luck, but resistance shows up right before the breakthrough. And the Bible talks about that. He says, it's always darkest just before dawn. So my question for both of you is, have you ever had a moment where everything just seemed to work against you and you've just had to push through? And a follow-up question to that would be, how did you know whether to keep going or to pivot? Because that's the gold.
It's just funny that I don't know if you can see it, but I have a little band in my fingers that was just playing here. And I was thinking, what would happen if one of my fingers slip now because there's resistance, and then it's going to propel this little rubber band forward? And that's for me exactly what resistance does, is it comes before the breakthrough. But I've learned in my life that every time when I had the most resistance and I pushed through that, my breakthrough was so much bigger. And now, where I used to avoid those things, I actually embrace it. I was thinking of, let's use the social media again. I stayed away from Meta ads because of the complexity of those things. But the moment I really got into it and I broke through the resistance, the breakthrough was just bigger. And I found in my life that every time you feel resistance, right? You feel it. Like studying for me was resistance. Certain parts of business, resistance. But every time I listen to that and I break through, the breakthrough is so much bigger. So sometimes we just have to listen to what is the resistance in our lives. And then we have to find a way to get through that so we can, and I've said that before, we don't get over stuff. We have to get through them. Because once we get through them, we break through resistance and the breakthrough is just so much bigger at the end. So I think for me, with the program that I also teach, is grit. So growth, resilience, intentionality, and transformation. Resistance is part of that. Resistance is what builds part of that whole equation. And when it comes to resilience, you need resistance in order to get to the resilient part. So we have to identify what is the things that feel like this little rubber band is holding me back. Because the moment I figure that out, I'm going to project into the next level of greatness that I need to be at.
I love that. Pastor C?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, what's going to happen if that band really slips? I just hope there's nobody in the room. We bought one of those elastic guns for Christy, where you put the elastic on the gun and then you shoot it. And so, yeah, we were playing with it also. So I know how that thing can hurt. I did, to answer your first question, yes, I've definitely faced resistance in my life in many ways. I've faced it. I've been on both ends, you know, maybe in good and bad ways. Maybe I've been a thorn in the flesh for people, and I was resisting them as much as I've been resisted in certain things. So yes, absolutely. Secondly, how do we navigate this? Is it good? Is it bad? Once again, it comes down to perspective. Resistance is the refusal to accept or to comply with something. And so if I refuse to accept something, there's a reason behind it. If whoever refuses to accept something, there should be a reason behind it. If people don't comply to something, there's a reason behind it. And if we as leaders can look past the resistance and look at the reason for not complying or the reason for not accepting. Now, I'm not very technical when it comes to compliance in the electrical field or in engineering, those type of things. But I've got some clients that play in that space, and I understand there's a certain level of compliance. You got to be compliant with a certain body. Now, let's just think about that. In order to comply, there's certain regulations that you need to have in place. And when that body comes in to audit you, it's not that you are in rebellion or that you are against the grain. You might just have missed one of the aspects to comply. And so it's to simply come to the place to say, okay, but what was the reason for not complying? If you don't accept something, like my bank card didn't want to work yesterday when I was paying for something, it didn't accept the payment. There was somewhere in the entire system, there was miscommunication. And if we can clear out the miscommunication, then we will realize, I believe many times the resistance is not something that's done on purpose, but it's really just a misconnection or a misalignment of purpose. So resistance, I think it's good, because if you stand for nothing, you will fall Absolutely. For anything. And as a leader, I have, and the teams that I've had the grace and the privilege to be a part of, and that I was leading, I've always encouraged the people that I was leading to not agree with me. If you don't agree with me, speak up. Because I would rather want to have people that I'm leading that I know where they're at, and I know if I have their hands and their hearts, and if I don't, I want to understand the reason behind it. I don't want followers, people that just blatantly do what I tell them to do because they have to. I want people that's on the journey with me because they want to be there and they believe in what we are doing. And that brings a conviction.
And resistance is part of the process.
Absolutely.
In any process, you're going to have resistance. But the point is, like I said, is to work through it, not to just get over it. Because otherwise, you face that same resistance just around the corner again. But when you work through it, you will face resistance again. But it's a different type. Because why? You've grown. You moved ahead. You moved forward. The resistance is going to be part of every process. I think the mind shift that we need to make, if you spoke about making or think differently, reframing, you have to reframe resistance for yourself as well. That resistance is part of the process, but it's also the key to my next level of growth. Because if you don't go through that, then you're never going to get to the next solution or the next level or the second phase. You have to work through it. It's part of your process.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Right at the beginning, Odette, we're speaking about, doing things that's comfortable. And it's not about, being in a comfort zone. But if you do something consistently, and if you work on something with perseverance, it's going to become comfortable simply because you've done it so many times.
Yeah.
And it's the more we embrace these challenges that we ourselves are growing and becoming better. I'm not saying that when you execute on an assignment, then is the time for everybody to resist. That's not what I'm saying. If it is happening within your business, then maybe you should have more team meetings. Maybe you should have more practice sessions.
Yes.
Maybe you should have more, moments where people can communicate their frustration or their opinions, within certain aspects. And so I'm not advocating for people to come and be in resistance and not accepting and not complying when we want to execute. No. When we've had the meetings, when we've sat down and we're now going to execute, yes. Now is the time that everybody then, you know, comes in line. I read something over the weekend, or I listened to something over the weekend. I just want to try and think now, what was the company? I'll maybe recall the company just now, but they allowed their employees to give suggestions. And the first, this is a large company. I think it was also in the late 70s and 80s. They allowed people to give suggestions. The company was going down. They were doing, at that stage, I think they dropped to 5 million that they did a month from where they were. The first round, they had 200,000 suggestions. They implemented 60% of the 200,000. And they had a massive resurgence in income. They continued to allow people to give suggestions. Where at some stage they had 2 million suggestions from all of their employees. And they continue to have a 60% increase, 60% implementation of the suggestions. And then somebody did a study on this company, and then they said that the number one reason for their growth is because employees felt that they had a voice and they were part of the bigger picture. And so as a leader, once again, I believe it's important that we have the team that we are leading that buys into this vision. I've seen it, and maybe we're off topic, but we're on point because we're jumping around. But I think we're speaking about everything that we discussed in the session. You know, I believe leaders, and whether it's business or faith, whether it's, you know, kingdom or corporate, where we sometimes miss the mark when the vision that we have becomes my vision, meaning that I've taken ownership, but I know what I want to do, and everybody must follow me. And I don't know what's happening there with all the crackers in the background on my screen. Instead of realizing that a vision was given to you to bring people along the way, and the reason you have a big vision is because you need input from many people. Instead of, it's mine and everybody must follow me. Absolutely, you give direction, you lead the way. But it's how you get the input of people, how you work with people around you. So maybe just to bring it into closing, absolutely resistance is necessary. It's part of our growth. It's something to embrace more than to, you know, push away or to neglect. If you feel intimidated as a leader with people that is resisting you, I think you need to check your own life, you know. And once again, I'm not saying resistance at execution time all the time and in front of people all the time. But if you get challenged by somebody on a one-on-one conversation that's not agreeing with everything you're saying, I think you got to check your life, and you got to ask yourself the question, you know, what is the reason for people not accepting or not complying to the goal, the direction that you want to go to?
I think this
And I think also when it comes down to...
Sorry, Dr. Jack, continue.
When it comes down to the competition, we always think it's just for entrepreneurs. It's not for entrepreneurs. Okay. It's corporate also. How many times in the corporate landscape do you feel like that's why people are saying, I'm climbing the corporate ladder? And inside the organizations, there's so much friction, there's so much resistance because everybody's fighting for that higher position. Where if they just work together, the entire organization can grow. Therefore, there's room for all of us to grow. But yet, we want to climb on top of each other, bring everybody down. And at the end, sometimes there's not even an organization anymore. Yep. So competition is not just for entrepreneurs. It's for corporate as well. I fully understand that we can't co-opetition the entire time with other corporates. I understand that it's not possible, but in some ways it is. But just take it a little bit closer to home. It's also the people in your team and in your environment. Because if you use each other's suggestions, like Processy said, and you work towards something, every single person in that organization will succeed.
I just want to maybe mention this because I'm thinking about something I said earlier about, you know, there's enough space for everybody and, you know, we shouldn't, you know, why is everybody fighting and having wars and all these things? I'm not advocating for a non-competitive, you know, market industry. You know, this might come as a shock, but, you know, my biggest competition is the two people that are sitting in this room. I'm competing against you in the sense of, in the sense of the following, is that you push me to become better. And that's what competition does. Competition Yes. brings out the best in those that are competing. But now listen to this. We are competing with each other and not against Yes. each other. And the competition is important because it pushes you to become better, to work on your skill. You know, when I read your books and when I look at the post and the content of the blogs and your Substack that goes out every week, I'm like, I got to pick up my game. You know, the competition's good because we are working yeah. to become better. So I just wanted to just bring that in and say we need competition. But the framework should be, it's not, we're not competing against, but we are competing mm-hmm. with one another.
I think what you're pointing out.
Iron sharpens
exactly,
iron.
Yep.
That's exactly yep. it. And I know it's amazing and it's lots of fun. The reality is, if there wasn't someone who's going, hey, you got to pick up your game, you'd get fat and lazy and just sit around and do nothing. It's just how we are as human beings. We need a burning platform. And quite often, your friends in your life create your burning platform. And if I think about the kind of friends that I have, I've got crazy friends. Got crazy friends who do crazy things and who create burning platforms for me and for themselves. And because they do, I choose to create burning platforms. I choose to push forward because I've got friends who do the same. If I was sitting around fat people who are lazy, who do nothing, then I would do the same because you become yep. what you surround yourself with. So if you really want to be the best, and if world domination and market domination is your thing, get around world dominating, market dominating people. That's the reality. The way they do it is going to determine the kind of person that you become. So my recommendation would be to find someone who does it well and who does it right, you know, don't be shady. But I think what this conversation is highlighting for me in terms of resistance is it's not a reason to stop. I know in my personal experience, when it comes to resistance, quite often it's hard. And when it first hits you in the face, you're like, well, that was rude. But the truth is, if you sit down and think about it, it's a sign that, Dr. J, you said it, just now you're going to break through. So I get a little bit excited when I see resistance. And I think that's why I'm a little bit dilly like that. I don't give up because the more you push back, the more I'm going to push what I do. I can't help it. That's great.
Okay.
And from a people resistance perspective, if you think about a process, and I love how you both see it very differently, but we're talking about the same thing. And guys, if you don't understand what co-opetition is, if you don't understand what ecosystem is, this conversation is ecosystem. We all have different skills. We all have different perspectives and we all have different anointings. Processy, absolutely leadership. Dr. J, absolutely business. Come on, guys. We are talking about the same thing, but from different perspectives. And the truth is, all of those perspectives are true because more than one thing can be true at the same time. And all of those perspectives are necessary if you want to create a holistic, successful solution. So when it comes to resistance, resistance could be a stop sign. It could, if you choose it to be. Absolutely. I think it's a choice. But most often they're not. For me personally, resistance is a sign that you're on the right track and you have to keep going. So keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it from a process perspective, if you were in a plant manufacturing something and there was resistance on the belt, you would go check what the resistance is. That resistance is information. It's like complaints in your business. People aren't resisting you because they don't like you. They're resisting you because you're doing something wrong. And the moment you go and find out what the resistance is, you have a choice to make, like Prostacy said. Get the feedback and then decide what to do. You will not implement 100% of the feedback. That's okay. You may choose to only implement 60%, but the point is they've given you information. That resistance is information. It's like insight versus knowledge. Knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Insight and wisdom is knowing not to put your tomato in your fruit salad, guys. It's the same thing. Resistance gives you information about what's going on in your ecosystem and where's their friction? What's going on? Like, maybe someone did put the tomato in the fruit salad and now someone's fighting about it. So go take the tomatoes out. Fix your recipe. Then the resistance is removed. Now you know not to put the tomato in the fruit salad. Ah, suddenly people love the fruit salad again. Nice. Let's leave the tomatoes with the vegetables, even though it's a fruit. And it's that kind of stuff where I feel like resistance gets a bad rap because we take it at face value. We're like, oh, the door must be closed. So boohoo, poor me. But it's not. It's why is it closed? Why is that belt not going smoothly? Oh, there's stones underneath the conveyor belt. Well, maybe you should dust it a little bit. And then you're not going to wear your conveyor belt anymore and things are going to go faster and you're going to produce faster and you're going to be able to sell more because you produce more. So if we can think about it like that from a manufacturing perspective and just play it back, like Pastor C said, play it back, take it back, zoom out and go, okay, what does this actually mean? My customers are complaining because maybe I do have a sucky process or I don't get back to them. It's not they're resisting me because they hate me. It's because there's something that I need to pay attention to and either work on or address specifically and say, well, actually, you thought you're buying this thing. You're not buying this thing. This is what you're buying. This is what we're selling. So again, back to clarity. You are unclear here. If you get clear here, it's fine. And same with the people. I think we take people for granted and corporates quite often do change management and it's a whole bunch of games. I don't think that they necessarily manage change effectively because a big part of change management is taking people on the journey. And the truth is corporates don't have time to take people on the journey. The shareholders want their money. It's got to happen. It's got to happen yesterday. So then they put this pretty sticker on and they have these things and all under the banner of change management. But if you did change management, you'd involve people in the room when you started with a conversation, not at the end when you're implementing it. That's not change management. That's just communication. So back to why, what resistance? Resistance is a signal, definitely a test of conviction because you get to choose whether or not you're going to step out of the ring. Are you getting off the bus or are you staying on the bus and figuring out how to get the bus going faster? So resistance, co-opetition, big words. They could be buzzy words, but the reality is at the center of it is the people and the conversations and the relationship that you have around you. That's a wrap for today's episode. I really hope this conversation sparked something in you, whether it's a fresh perspective or on collaboration, co-opetition, or a renewed determination to push through with resistance. It's just a reminder that you're figuring it out and you're not alone. And we want to be here with you in our community, have conversations with you, and provide you with insights and different perspectives on things that matter for us, but also that matters for you. So remember, resistance is not a stop sign. It's a test of conviction. And it's an indication that you need to pay a little bit more attention, making peace with your process. If you have any questions or there's things that you really want to talk about or you want to talk to us about, or there's specific questions that you want to ask any one of us or all three of us, then please send through your questions to info@amplifycoach.biz or DM us on social media. Come and find us. Come and comment on the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. We'd also like to hear from you what stood out, what resonated with you. Drop it in the comments, send us a message, join the conversation on social media. And if you haven't already, make sure that you like, comment, and share this episode so that somebody else gets to hear it as well. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Your support helps us amplify this message and reach more people who need encouragement and real conversations like these. Until next time, keep showing up, keep amplifying your purpose, and remember, one conversation can change everything. Thanks, Dr. Jancy. See you soon. Take care.